Now, Brad Curzon, again from home, will be reading this morning's scripture passage from the prophet Isaiah.
Our first scripture this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, and that she has received in the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So let's pray. Mighty God, send your Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit to speak, that the good news may be proclaimed through your word, which stands forever. Amen. Comfort. O comfort my people, says your God. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare. This passage from the prophet Isaiah comes in the midst of and comes from a difficult time. God's people are in exile in Babylon. Their home, their social, communal, economic, and religious life has been swept away and pulled out from underneath of them. And they have found themselves now in a strange land. They are in the wilderness of exile. Now, if you've spent any sort of time in any sort of wilderness, you can perhaps appreciate the power of this wilderness imagery. In the wilderness, obstacles show up all over the place. Perhaps a daunting climb up a mountain or a cliff, or maybe a valley or a ravine that's too steep to scramble down. Or maybe it's just that after a while, it all starts to look the same. You get turned around and you can't find your way out. Or it's just that it's so vast that you end up aimlessly walking and wandering around, just hoping for a bit of luck. There's a reason. There's a reason they tell you to stay to the trails, right? And that if you get lost, you're supposed to hug a tree. You're supposed to stay put because the wilderness can turn you around. And so it can be next to impossible to even return the way you came. At the time of Isaiah, God's people are in the wilderness of exile. And they are unsure of the way forward. And so it's there. It's there in that time and in that place that God speaks, that Isaiah proclaims, a voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. This word of hope comes to God's people. A promise of a return home, where all the hills and mountains that might stand in the way are brought low, and the valleys and ravines are lifted up, and a clear path is marked through the desert, through the wilderness. Now, as often happens when the prophets speak, the time came when that immediate promise to that specific particular context, it was fulfilled, and God's people returned home from exile. They returned from Babylon back to Jerusalem. And yet, also again, as often happens when the prophets speak, those words also speak into more than just that first immediate context. But they speak into something deeper in all of us. These words are both immediate and eternal. Indeed, that is what the season of Advent is all about. Looking back at the promise of God showing up. In this case, showing up in the return from exile in Babylon to Jerusalem, or even in our own case, this time of year, on this side of that first Christmas, we look back to 2,000 years ago at the promise of God and in all its fullness showing up in that manger all those years ago, and also at the same time, we know we still look forward to the fulfillment of that promise. And so centuries later, long after Isaiah, after God's people have returned from exile, though the truth is they still found themselves, even back in Jerusalem, still found themselves in many ways home, but not quite at home. You may know that feeling. Centuries later, a voice is heard crying out in the wilderness. The gospel writer Mark, who we don't read much from at Christmas time. We read a lot of Matthew and Luke, right? They're the two gospel writers that tell of the birth of Jesus. They're the ones who have the angels and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and all those wonderful things of nativity scenes and Christmas cards. And then there's the gospel writer John, who begins with those awesome and powerful and transcendent words that pull you immediately to the heavens and all that eternal glory. You may remember the opening lines of John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then a bit later, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Powerful Christmas stuff. But Mark doesn't have any of that. In fact, this is how Mark opens his gospel account. The beginning of the good news. That's the word gospel, good news. The beginning of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, or behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And then right then and there, we find ourselves in the strangest of company, there in the wilderness. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then we are not brought up to the glory of the heavens, but we are almost unceremoniously just thrown into the wilderness. Because apparently, that's where the good news of Jesus begins. Not in the hustle and bustle and pomp and circumstance of the places of power or glory or comfort or even safety, but in the wilderness. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then we immediately find ourselves face to face with this guy, his beard, no doubt sticky with wild honey and bugs probably still in his teeth from lunch, somewhere out there in the wilderness. And Mark says that's where the beginning of the good news of Jesus is being proclaimed. You see, the thing that we have to come to terms with about the good news of Jesus showing up is that that's where it shows up. We would prefer it show up anywhere but the wilderness, but Mark here says, no, this is where it begins. This is where we find it, in the wilderness. That's the wisdom of the church with seasons like Advent. Or if you think ahead a few months, the season of Lent that leads us into Easter. Because without understanding or seeing the wilderness that we so often find ourselves stumbling into, or the wilderness that often finds its way inside of us, we might have a nice holiday here in a couple weeks, but it's not going to be good news. I mean, listen to this, right? Comfort, oh, comfort my people. Speak tenderly and cry to her that she has served her term, her penalty paid, and has received double for all her sins. That is only good news when you realize the wilderness that you have been in and the wilderness that has been in you. Otherwise, stuff like that just becomes the most awkward Christmas card ever. And a voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? Writes Isaiah. Cry this. All people are grass, their constancy like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. Surely the people are grass. The word of the Lord will stand forever. Again, not so much a very Merry Christmas card, and yet, we read on. So get you up to a high mountain, you herald of good tidings, of good news, of gospel, and lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and do not fear, and say, here is your God. See, it's not so much in our carefully cultivated gardens, but it's in the wilderness that we really see the grass withers and the flower fades. Unless, of course, I'm the one tending your garden, and then it's all wilderness, and we'll get the point really, really quick. But you get the idea here. The wilderness places and the wilderness times, they are what pull things back with the truth of this, because then it is truly good news that it is the word of the Lord that stands forever, because it is the word of the Lord that calls forth new life. And then there's John, that sticky with honey, bugs in his teeth, eccentrically dressed baptizer, out there in the wilderness, crying out. And this is the beginning. As far as Mark is concerned, this is how you get there. The beginning of the good news, of the glad tidings, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what is John doing out there? He's proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And look, something like that is either profoundly good news, or it is awkward and kind of insulting, right? Repentance means to turn around, to have your mind changed, to have your heart changed, to turn from one thing and orient yourself towards something else. And so if we are convinced that we are not lost in the wilderness, and that we know the way, thank you very much, somebody calling out and crying to us, repent, repent, turn around, there's a far better way. Well, nobody likes a backseat driver, right? But if we know that we are in the wilderness, or maybe even that it's the wilderness that's in us, if we know and see and behold that we have run up against mountains and ravines, that we have gotten all turned around inside and out, well then, when one cries out and says to us, here is repentance, here is how to turn around, here is the way, well then that might really be the beginning of some really, really, really good news. You know, we are in a difficult time. There's no doubt about it. We are in a time of a type of wilderness, a type even of exile, right? Nothing at all like the Babylonian exile. But still, circumstances have pulled out from under us, or at least made us make difficult and even painful choices for the sake of one another, right? It's happened upon us in this season that has seemed to go on and on and on, a wilderness of sorts from the way things have always been, from our life together, a type of exile even from this place, right here, this place where we are so used to gathering together in and around and through the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And doing all those things we love to do here together, singing together, fellowshipping, hugs and handshakes, goodness, even being able to see faces, right? The smile of someone else. Circumstances have pulled that out from under us. And many of us feel the exhaustion of this particular wilderness. The mountains that we keep trying to climb, the valleys that it seems we keep getting pulled into, the unsure and unstable footing beneath us, and that feeling that we are just wandering aimlessly without any sure path forward. And so maybe this year, even as we know these particular circumstances aren't forever, right? Things may very well be different after, but this isn't forever. But even so, maybe our experience with it, if we let it, if we invite it to, maybe it can actually help us hear the good news, gospel, glad tidings in the wilderness, hope and promise that is spoken into all that is otherwise fading and fleeting, spoken into it by the one whose word stands forever. You see, if Christmas means anything, it is that God has shown up, and that God continues to show up, and that God will show up to meet us right where we are, wilderness and all. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Not here, as wonderful and as good a place as this is, and places and spaces do matter. The fact of Jesus, the fact of the incarnation, that the word that stands forever has become flesh to dwell with us, that means that the good news of Jesus Christ always begins right where you are, whether it is on a Sunday morning in your living room instead of a church sanctuary, The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, meets us in all of our attempts, our successes, and our failures alike to balance and navigate quarantines and stay-at-home orders and virtual learning and working at home. It always begins and meets us right where we are. It meets us in our lamenting of traditions that won't happen at all in the same way this year. It meets us in the wilderness of our grief over so much that has been lost, and our exhaustion with just trying to find a path forward. That's where the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes right on into our world. And beyond and under and before and after this particular season that we find ourselves in, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, meets us in all the ways that we've gotten twisted and turned around, inside or out, in our hearts, in our minds, in our actions, in our lives. Jesus meets us in all of those places that we've gotten twisted and turned around so much so that even when we wanted to repent, to turn around, we still can't quite seem to know the way. The good news of Jesus, which is Jesus himself, comes and meets us there in all of those places. Like one standing on a mountain for all to see, pointing the way. And like a shepherd, come to gather, guide, and carry his sheep the way home through the wilderness. The good news of Jesus Christ begins there, like a voice crying out in the wilderness. And by the way, this also means that there are those, there are our sisters and brothers in other parts of the church, other communities that know the wilderness and what it is to find yourself out there in those marginal places, and all that far more than we or you or I, they know the wilderness places, and we would do well to listen when they speak of all that is bound up in the good news of Jesus Christ, because you can't understand that until you understand and grapple with the wilderness. And so here in this season of preparation, know this, family. Know this, that our Advent hope and the Christmas promise, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, always comes to meet us in the places that are least expected and most needed. And so even in the wilderness times and places, even in these times and these places, let us hear and receive, that we too might prepare and make a way through repentance and hope for us and indeed for all who know what the wilderness is like. Let us too hear and receive all those voices crying out from the wilderness, all those who are lifting up their voices in those places with strength, proclaiming, "Yet here is our God." And then let us join in that great wilderness choir with our voices. Lift them up and do not fear. We too might be heralds of this good news, proclaiming to one another and to the world, wherever we find ourselves, here is our God, the one who has come to meet us in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the very good news in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.